Y'all ready for this? Let's do it. Do it.
What is up, everyone?
Pumped up, bro. So let's talk about free agency. There's a few things that are happening. But Thunder obviously are first and foremost on our minds. So Victor Oladipo, not exactly a free agency situation, but we pick up a second round pick. Is that right, to take on his contract, Dave?
Well, there's draft compositions going back and forth. I don't know exactly what's Corey, going on with that up? Right now. Corey. But I do know that as time comes and depending on what Victor, how much he plays, if he plays at all, I'm pretty sure that will come into play of what type of draft it gets exchanged both ways. Because if we're picking up Victor for $9.7 million, whatever it is, and he's not going to play a single day in Oklahoma City because of his injury, then I think that we deserve to get, you know, a couple second round picks, if not a late first round pick for that. So we'll see what happens.
VO may never play, but he's a guy that he's a Thunder guy.
We love him.
And
we love him.
When he came through the Thunder, he really transformed his career. And
it's amazing, dude.
I feel like if you're going to have somebody.
It was that Russ love, bro.
Right. If you're going to have somebody who's just going to be in the organization to rehab and not necessarily play a game. Somebody who's been there before and they know his work ethic, I think that's the right type of guy to have around. If he does play, yeah. Like it could be one of those situations where it's like, well, whose minutes does he get? And I understand the concern, but if we can rehab his value, then there is value in that. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but
$4.5 million, $5 million really for having him for half a year,
right?
On a contender that's trying to make a push, that's had injuries with the guards. There's no reason why they wouldn't trade a future first round pick for him. You know, like we need a six man off of our bench. We need a healthy person. Well, Victor's been getting healthy. He's ready to go. In the last 7 games, he's averaging, you know, 18 points a game for us. You know, he's ready to go. And that's the type of thing that when we're looking at it, you know, Sam Presti is going to be able to maximize that value.
And Mwani's asking a good question, like, what does this trade mean? And obviously there's like the on-court thing. But I think what it kind of says to me is that Sam Presti is willing to take on money to acquire additional assets. And ultimately it just means we're still in that phase. And it's going to end probably at the end of this year. Like, I think in this trade and that in the Bertans trade could use up a lot of the money that we have available. But there's always, like, because it's Bertans and Oladipo, you can always find yourself in a spot where you're continuing to replicate this.
Well, and I want to be clear with this too, man, is that if you look at the penalties that you would get for not having $120-something million, $124, $122, $126, whatever it is, money going out, being paid to the players, you have to pay all that to the NBA, and the NBA will distribute it between all the players. Now, if I'm looking at it like that, I looked at it and I was like, I think Sam Presti had to add $20-something million to our salary in order for us not to have to do that. You know, like, cool. Well, we've got Bertans, whatever his name is. I butchered that. But then you also have Victor Oladipo, and they're like, $26 million together. So, you know, that puts us in the position that we don't need to have to pay that penalty or whatever it is. So I'm looking at this as a big moment for the Thunder, because we got two veterans, which I would consider great players, great guys that can help us get more trade assets out of this. I mean, if you think about it, if we get Bertans up there and he's able to rehab his career in the aspect of showing what he can do in the spacing game, and he goes 42% halfway through the year, I'm telling you, there's going to be a team that says, hey, we need a shooter on our team. You know, Victor Oladipo, same thing. We need a shooter. We need a player on our team. So they'll go out and they'll be able to overprice those players, and Sam will be able to get more, maximize more in return. Now, there is a chance that Victor Oladipo gets back to Oklahoma City and is like, listen, I would rather be a six man and never leave Oklahoma City again than go and get a $30 million contract for 3 years at someplace else. And if that's the case, man, then I would love to have Victor Oladipo on our team for, you know, a few more years, because he is the perfect leader that you need, not just on your team, but, you know, everywhere. In locker room, checking in on the guys. You know, we talked about there's, one guy that always likes to go to the strip clubs. And the thing is that one guy will take three or four guys with him. You know, they'll go party and have a good time. And you always need one guy on that team that's going to hold the other players accountable. So you can let that one player go to the strip club, but he's not going to take anybody else with him. You know, Victor Oladipo, Bertans are those type of players. They're the type of guys that are going to hold players accountable. So I love it. I love getting these, you know, leaders in the locker room to help these young players. So I'm all for it, man.
Yeah, and maybe he's not a part of the long-term fit, but I feel like rehabbing with the Thunder and finding the right fit is something that is a part of our, you know, process and organization. And yeah, our money is getting spent up, but a lot of the recent trades we've made, acquisitions we've made, have put us in positions where some of that money, a lot of that money is expendable. And because of that, we could find ourselves in a spot where Presti continues to engage in these types of cap releasing pressure for other teams, and we acquire for apparently maybe 2 second round picks. We don't know yet exactly on the Oladipo thing, but the idea is
it's all about playing time.
And it's also the value, and it's about us finding those value contracts. So this is the first half. If you can relieve somebody's cap pressure, and then the second half is you go get a JRE, a J Will, these players that Wiggins, who are exceptional values in the second round, who can give us good minutes and help us avoid finding a situation where, like, okay, change the subject real quick, but let's talk about what happened with the Grizzlies. Like, to me, I think they made a huge mistake. Okay, I like Desmond Bain, but if you commit $200 million to Desmond Bain, like, bro, you might as well stick a bottle rocket up your ass.
I love it, bro. But you... I love it, man. I love this type of like throw the money at the young talents. Yes, his stats are like there to prove that he deserves a big contract. But to say thank that you, Peter, he deserves $207 million, I can't. Like, there's a point in my life where I'm like I'm looking at the other $207 million contracts in the NBA, and I'm like, is this where it's happening? Is like we're going to start throwing $207 million at these high-end role players? Like, I don't see that. I think this is going to be one of those things that's going to handicap Memphis, and because of that, I'm excited. This makes me happy.
Boom, 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 boom. Get me fucking fired up, dude. It's like taking a fucking
appreciate Peter, man.
Of espresso, dude.
Hell yeah, Peter.
Like, look, we say all the time, right? You need stars, then you need players who are stars in their role. And I shouldn't be saying this is too much shit to talk on a player like Desmond Bane, because he's a very good, he's an elite role player. But is he a star?
That's star money, man. That's
fucking superstar money, bro. That's the first $200 million contract in Memphis' history.
Do you think they had to pay him that to keep him there, though? Because, like, do you think it's so disgruntled in that locker room that, you know, Dylan Brooks is like, I'm out. And Desmond Bain's like, I'm pretty dang close to being out. Pieces, you know? Like, what do you think... Like, if that was the case, and they said the only way that we sign here is a $210 million contract, $215 million contract, and Memphis comes back and says, we won't pay that, but we'll pay $207 million. Like, don't you think that, like, Desmond Bane's...
reps, man.
Agent's like, what the hell? Like, I didn't think this was going to work. I mean, like, literally, like, he is, like, on cloud nine right now, bro. Like, skip every other cloud out there. He's on cloud nine.
Dude, I get it, like... He's way more productive offensively than Draymond Green. But Draymond Green signs for 4 years, $100 million. Like, if you had to pick a player, would you rather Draymond or Bane? I mean,
okay. I mean, dude, listen, I would rather Draymond. And this is the reason I would rather Draymond is because you can get Draymond for half the price of Desmond Bane. And then you can go out and get other players to go around Draymond Green that will allow you guys to at least make the playoffs, like, for that extra $100 million. You know, like, it's mind-boggling.
This is a huge boner by the Memphis Grizzlies. It's okay. We've seen
you can't trade him. Fumble. Nobody's going to want him now. Like, he was one of the most tradable assets in the NBA. If you turned around and traded him, you would have been able to get two, maybe three first-round picks.
Now he's untradeable.
Because of his – now he's untradeable. You can't trade Charlotte him with that type of price. That, and. Man. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe the new owner will, but not Mike.
Dude, I mean, dude, it's a mistake.
Oh, dude. Only time will tell how big. Let's talk about the other massive contract. Tyrese
Haliburton, bro. Whatever his name is. One of my favorite players.
$260 million, 5 years, bro.
That's where I start, like, Because, like, I love a young player on a good contract. But then you start wondering, is he that good? I don't know, man.
Dude, I don't know. Dude, that's so much money. Okay, let me ask you this. Next one for price-wise, all right? Let's hit the price-wise one. Fred VanVleet to the Houston Rockets, 3 years, $160 million? Really? No, dude, hold on. I got to pull it up now. I'm going to say something. Everybody's going to be like, shut up, Dave. All right. Here we go. Fred VanVleet. $130 million. $130 million over 3 years, bro. For the going to the Houston Rockets. $130 million.
This is not the time to spend money if you're an executive. This reminds me of
I can't even imagine.
Every player was getting max, and they had, to do the amnesty clause afterwards. All
right. Check this out. Kyrie Irving. 3 years, $126 million. So Kyrie was the number one pick. Fred VanVleet was undrafted. And Fred VanVleet just landed a bigger contract than Kyrie to stay with Dallas. Like, this is crazy, man. Like, and then you got, you know, $100 million contracts being thrown out. Like you know, Cam Johnson got one for the you've got Chris Middleton got one. It's crazy how much money is being thrown out these players. And yes, $100 million is what I look for as a role player now. A good, really good role player, $100 million. I think a good role player should average around $25 million. It's what I would be willing to pay Dort if he was, you know, at that contract time. You know, $25 million is a great level for role players. But when you're overpaying role players, like Fred VanVleet, which, guys, I love him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, talking trash against Fred. I'm just saying when you're paying somebody $130 million over 3 years, you're handicapping everything you can do, because then again, you're not going to be able to trade that in a couple of years. That's an untradeable contract.
No, I would say, though, play devil's advocate for the Rockets, which I never like to do. But, like, if you're lining things up and you're like, he would be a really good player to have next to, like, our young guards, our young players. He's a good leader. I really do think he's a really good leader. And as long as we're not paying Green at the same time that we have to pay VanVleet, like, then I'm okay with them doing something to help steady the ship. I think that they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Yeah. If they were doing this like to bring in a vet to help the rebuild, but it's like they're doing this to win now, and that's to me a little weird.
Well, they have if it's not a top four pick, yeah. Right? Not a top four pick, it's over. What's up, Steve? Okay, let's go. When I say the Houston pick is ours, if it's not top four, guys, just let me clarify that. So we get the top four picks. That's why they went out and spent $130 million on Fred VanVleet, because they're trying to ensure that this pick isn't going to be top 10. And that's cool with me, because again, we know what we can do with a top 10 pick. So
12, give us 12.
Yeah, we'll take that. But that's where I look at that. So Victor Oladipo, where do I feel like he's going to stay? We have too many players on this team. I get that. This team isn't done being formed, guys. This team isn't done with trades. There's a reason that we've been trading some of these players and bringing other players back, because if you look at Victor Oladipo and Bertans, and then you add somebody else, that's a really good trade offer for something, you know? So there's options here, and there's injuries, and there's players out, and there's all this other stuff that the Thunder are going to deal with. So we might have one extra player now, but by the time the season starts, we won't. You know, like things are still moving very quickly, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are sitting on what, $26 million in money they just added, and then they have another what, $6-8 million sitting there. So everybody's like, well, the Oklahoma City Thunder are done, you know, making this or that. No, the Oklahoma City Thunder are not done, because if you need somebody to match a contract, right? Mm-hmm. You need to max money to match a contract. Who are you looking at? You're looking at very few teams. Well, yeah, you're right. But the Oklahoma City Thunder have now put themselves in a position to be able to take on extra money like that by trading these two players. Because Victor Oladipo, for a team that's like, okay, we've got a blank player that's injured, not going to be able to play this at least half a year, so we need to go out and trade. And you're looking at Victor Oladipo and Bertans, you're like, okay, you know what? That's better than nothing. And, hey, we shed his contract. And that's where Sam Presti is going to be able to earn more stripes here, is because, again, there's just too much happening that it's like, okay, Sam's just got to be patient. Another deal is going to come, and we're going to be able to get one of these, two of these guys off of our you know, books. But there's no rush for it right now because the season doesn't start for a few more months, two more months, whatever it is. So, you know, like, let these guys play. Let's see what happens. Let's see who's injured. Because if Victor Oladipo is starting the season completely injured and out for the first 3-4 months, he doesn't count for a contract because we can get an exemption, on him.
Hey, and
so there's certain things like that we can work out.
Juani brought up a good point. Like, in 2017, we traded Oladipo for PG-13. Let's go back a little bit and remember how this all worked out, right? We traded Serge Ibaka for Victor Oladipo and a pick that ended up turning into Domantas Sabonis, right? So Sabonis,
that was like the 11th pick, right? So, yeah. We got the 11th pick from, right.
And then VO and Sabonis were just barely enough for us to get PG-13. Now, PG-13,
I think we had to trade one pick or something like that with that.
I don't think we did.
I don't think it was much.
Maybe
though.
It's the second rounder, but maybe you're right. But
I don't remember.
Minimal. And anyway, we ended up with getting SGA for PG-13. So basically, VO.
Well, not just SGA.
Yeah, I know. But like, when you're talking about a first-team All-NBA player, like, he's the cornerstone now of that package. When you look at it, you go. This is a VO, ultimately VO for SGA. Like, if you want to kind of go back to like how important Victor Oladipo was for our franchise, we don't get SGA without PG-13, and we don't get PG-13 without VO. VO gave the Pacers some really good years before he got hurt. Like, and obviously we have really good vibes with VO. So I'm excited to have him back. And looking at where we have come since when we traded him, or traded for him, however you want to look at it, like, this franchise went from like being a conference finalist pretty much every year, and you know, when with that comes a lot of times you end up not getting picks in the inside the top 20, and so we're short on assets. We were going at every year, and we weren't getting out of the first round by the time PG-13 was getting traded, and now we're sitting here, and the whole thing is different. We're asset rich, we're young, and we're energetic, and here we go. VO is back, baby.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how he ends up gelling with everybody, because the reality of the situation that we're seeing is that we don't know when he's going to play. We don't know if he's going to play at all.
Was he hurt at the end of the season? I felt like he was coming back.
Yeah, in April he got hurt.
They were kind of hoping he would play in the finals. Like, I felt like they were talking about it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's with hopeful, you know? Like, just like with a hero thing, he broke his hand in the playoffs and they're hoping that he'd come back before. So, you know, like, I looked at VO and I would say there was never any chance that he was coming back after April. You know, like, after that type of injury, there's just no reason to rush back on it. I mean, yes, if you have a chance to win Game 7 of the NBA Finals and you're finally healthy, then, yeah, you can go play, like, 10, 15 minutes. But, you know, Victor didn't need to come back. So, there's a chance, I think, that he could be 100% and healthy, ready to go. But then again, if he's not, there's no reason to rush it, you know? They're just not. Like, he's a good player. He's a good guy coming off the bench. He doesn't mind if he's coming off the bench. He doesn't mind if this or that. He's just a good dude to have on your bench. And here's the thing is that...
Do you think he could prove to be, like, an elite sixth man and other teams would see him as that? Or is that too...
Yeah, I do. I think he's a version of Kenny Hustle, you know? Like,
Jamal Crawford?
A scoring version of Kenny Hustle.
Jamal Crawford.
Yeah. But like, when I look at personalities and leadership styles, right, and I look at the way that he, you know, really, really hustles, right, on offense, right? If you look at it, the way that Kenny hustles on defense, right, and you switch it and say he's like a Kenny Hustle on offense, you know, like the way that he's able to go out there, and not every team you're going to need somebody like that. But when you are playing him and he's playing against a team that he can put up 25, 30 points, he's going to look really good. And everybody's going to be like, dang, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder got him for nothing.
Nothing. In fact, we got paid to keep him. And by the way, getting paid to pick up players, like, look at what happened with Al Horford. I mean, seriously, man. Like, the Sixers were just done with him. And we were able to not only get him for stuff, get a lot of value out of him, and then trade him back to where the Boston Celtics, where he was really wanted, and we got something out of him there too. And I'm like, this is the whole point of this is you eat a year or two on somebody's contract, right? And it goes from being a bad contract to a good contract because it's expiring. And once that happens, then you're sitting there and people are looking like you go from very few teams want to take on that money to everybody who's ready for a rebuild or any type of adding additional money. They're in a market for dead money. And that's what what Moani's saying, like Presti never stops. And it's because this is how, like, if you don't lay the foundation right now and you get to the point where you're making it to the conference finals every year, these things are not available. And you have to store up the assets before you get there. We talk about it all the time.
100%, man.
For sure.
You can't let this shit waste. I mean, that's it. Like, the reason that Sam Presti went out and got all the draft picks that we have and then all the future draft picks that we have is because he recognizes that you can't build a city overnight. Right, you know, you can't build a championship caliber team overnight. It takes many years to build. And not just that, but when you get to the pinnacle, in order to be able to continue to succeed, is that you need to be able to draft players that, as the NBA is changing, because it's inevitable, it's shifting and changing it constantly. You have to be able to pick up players that you see that are going to be able to help this team as the NBA changes. As players get outplayed by other players, you got to be able to trade those players. And you just got to be able to take the loss as a loss. Like, this is a business-minded game. And I hate saying it, but more so than ever is that the Oklahoma City Thunder are in a situation, right? We're going to have to pay at least three guys maximum salaries coming up. All right? It's going to happen. All right? We're going to have to see it. We're going to be like, dang, this is going to suck. So because of that, we've got to be smart with the other money that we're spending and how we're, you know, bringing stuff in. If we're bringing in three max contracts, we have three max contracts. How do we build a team without going to the free agency? By drafting. Sam Presti knows this. That's why we have everything set in stone. We don't need to do anything else right now. Sam Presti, like you guys are saying, he never stops working. Like, he has 10 steps down the road while everybody else is still looking at 2024 draft right now. He's looking at 2029, 2030 draft. And that's why we have an opportunity for this Thunder team to continue to win through the years. And we're looking at all these contracts and seeing the Jeremy Grant for $160 million, you know, like staying in Portland. Like, these contracts are exactly what's happening to the NBA. People are throwing money to keep players keep players and staying. Well, is Jeremy Grant worth that type of money?
How much did he get? Yes. What did you say again? 160?
160, 5 years, 4 years.
That's big money.
Big money,
bro. Big money. And I'm glad for him. I'm very happy for Jeremy.
And then you got, you know, like I said, Cam Johnson, 109. You've got Chris Middleton, 102. 126 for Kyrie. I mean, like, big money is being spent right now.
You get 100 million, you get 100 million, and you get 100 million.
Hanging it out, like, everybody, man. Like, again, so you got 5 year, 160 million. So Jeremy Grant, I feel like, is a solid contract for him. You know, 30 million, something like that a year. Good for him. 27 million or whatever a year. So
my question is, now let's talk about Dame. Because what does this mean for Dame? Like, that's my question. Because it seems like he wanted out. Now they're extending Jeremy. It seems like they're planning on running it back with Scoot as an addition. Is that, am I wrong there? I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to work it out 1 year, you know, see how it goes, see how Damian plays. But the problem is, you're playing with fire, man. If Damian gets injured, then he's worthless. You know, I say worthless. I mean, that's not true. But you're not going to get the type of caliber of pay or compensation that you would get right now for Damian. And that's why I don't think it's over yet. I think there's a team out there that's secretly like, hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. If I'm the Nets, I'm looking at trading picks if I have any more, which I'm sure they do because, you know, KD. So, like, I'm trading picks and I'm letting Ben Simmons go play in Portland because that is more what Portland's timeline is, you know? Ben Simmons, Jeremy Grant, Scoot Henderson, you got a young player there, you got some old players mixed in there. That's a great, you know, team right there. Plus, you're going to get more draft picks for Damian Lillard, and Damian gets to go play in New York. So, I mean, that's the thing that I keep on looking at, is that there's a team out there that's going to offer something that the Blazers aren't going to be able to turn down. They're not going to be able to turn down. They're going to be like, you know what? As much as I want to keep this piece, and that's Damian Lillard, that piece, this right here is way too good for us to turn down. We'll never get an offer like this ever again, and we get to restart and rebuild immediately.
It's fun. So,
Road Dog.
Chris Middleton, I think he sounds a little bit underpaid. What do you think?
Yeah, again, this is a player that wanted to stay where he was at. He wanted to help out the team and organization. And Chris Middleton, to me, deserves to get paid $120 million, $130 million a year for 4 years. So, I mean, yes, underpaid, but not really, because I think it was only, is it 3 years, $100 million?
So,
Yeah, 3 years, $100 million. So he's really not underpaid. He's actually right in that ballpark he should be. So $33 million a year.
So let's talk about Desmond Bane again. All right, so Bane missed, I think, 17 games last year. Like, that's one of the things about, like, a role player, if you're going to give him, like, a big deal. I know I'm going a little crazy on that. But, like, he needs to play, like,
you're right, dude. Bro. Good.
Otherwise, you're really – that's not good. And I'm not saying he can't play 82, but some players just don't – like, as their career goes on and they start getting paid that, they just don't play 82. And I'm just wondering with Bane, like, if he misses 20 games a season, like, that contract is even worse, right? Like, this is bad.
I'm so glad Memphis did this. Like, they wagered their organization for the next 5 years.
Well, maybe even longer, because if they fail, it's going to be a rebuild.
But they now, in my opinion, have two of the hardest contracts in the NBA. You've got Morant with all the issues that he's had, you know, and he just lost out on an enormous amount of money. I think total he'll probably lose out on $60 million because of the gun incident. You've got Desmond Bane now, and both of those guys are insane contracts, you know, which I think isn't Desmond Bane getting around the same money as Morant now, because Morant didn't get that $230 million or whatever. So again,
he's getting big bucks too.
Yeah. And now we're looking at a situation now where, like, everybody's been so scared of Memphis for 3-4 years, and you're looking at a playoff team, yes, but you're not looking at, unless they start drafting and they start trading and getting some other players there, like, what else do they have? You know, like, Desmond Bane and Morant isn't good enough to go against the Oklahoma City Thunder, like, deep-wise, you know? It's just not. Like, you're starting to match up, and people are talking about the best young teams in the league, and you're starting to look at the Houston Rockets, and you're like, okay, well, they look good. They have a bunch of draft picks. They have Fred VanVleet now, and they look decent. Well, no. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder and you're like, holy cow, we're going to smash the shit out of them in the long term. You know, like, San Antonio Spurs, great. They got some nice pieces over there that are young now. But they're going to have 2 more years of drafting to get to the level that we are. You know, like, think about that. They've got Victor. They've got nice pieces over there, but there's still 2 years to get of their own draft picks to get where we're at. Like, you'd say, okay, all right. What about Detroit? Sure. Detroit, yeah, I get it. But now we're all looking at it, and I don't think that anybody would rather have their point guard over Shea. So
you think Andrew is over that whole Cade
rotation? I hope he's over that. Like, I would trade can't remember his name, Cade Cunningham, mm-hmm. for Shea any day of the week, and it's just dumb. Anyways, okay, so then we're moving on that. So, but then we're starting to look at, you know, the other team would be Magic. And you're like, okay, Magic or, you know, decent. But again, they're a couple of years away from being where we're at. And then it's all coming into intuition. Like, this is where the Thunder are at. They're right here, mm-hmm. right? They're right here. And all these other young teams are there right here. And they're saying, oh, yeah. Look, we got these pieces. Or we're right here. But, like, every single time a Rockets fan opens his mouth or her mouth and says, like, yeah, we got a better young core, immediately I lose them, because they're like, delusional about the Oklahoma City Thunder and where the Houston Rockets are, because the Houston Rockets, like, even if they had 2 more years of drafting, 3 more years of drafting top 5 players, they would never get to our level. The only way they're going to get to our level is if they somehow attract a really, really good superstar that's young to come play for them. Other than Fred VanVleet, who's almost going to be 30 years old, he doesn't fit in their timeline. So there's so much stuff going down, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God. And then you look at, okay, another one, Dallas Mavericks, right? They've got, what, Luka, who's 24, 23 years old, whatever he is now. Young team, looking good. But guys, they're never going to be at the Thunder level. And we can talk about it all day long. And I'll argue with anybody out there that wants to say the Oklahoma City Thunder are not the best young team in the league. Because if you look at it, any team that has a young team in the league and you put Victor Oladipo on that team, he starts. We're not talking about Victor Oladipo being in the top eight players right now on this Thunder team. Think about that, guys. We're not talking about Victor Oladipo being a top eight player. The other guy I want to talk about, Bertans, right? $17 million. Most teams, he'll be out there. He'll be the second or third big man playing. He's our fourth or fifth big man playing, bro. Like, this team is such on a different level, and nobody understands it in the media right now. They just don't, because a lot of people don't know how to look at what's happening and draft picks and young players and aren't able to see and say, this is where this is going. Listen, the second Chet goes out there and plays with Shea and plays with J-Dub and plays with Dort, and plays with Josh Giddey, the first alley-oop Josh Giddey and Chet have, everybody's going to go like, oh my God. Like, they're just going to be wiping their drool off of their face. All the writers are going to be like, Josh Giddey and Chet, why didn't we see this? Well, we're all seeing that. We're all seeing this. Like, there's no doubt that that Gaze jersey right there that my buddy Sammy gave me, that has, Ben Simmons' dad on there, Dave Simmons, it has Warwick on there. Man, I'm telling you guys, I've been a Giddey fan since day one because I know what's going to happen when you put a big guy that can catch alley-oops like Chet in there. Guys, it's over. We've never seen a team designed like this before, and we can talk about it any other way we want. When it's all said and done, the books are going to be written about this team. And when we're sitting here and we're looking at this team and we're saying, look at, we were able to see the correlation from here to here. That's why we're here talking to you guys, because a lot of people don't see it right now. They're still trying to figure out what's Kasan going to be doing? Why did we get another guard? Like, we're so far past that, guys. The guards are the key to the future of the NBA. And the more guards you have that are capable of playing in different zones and different defenses, the better this team is going to be able to play. There is nothing else out there that's going to compete to this team.
All these guards, all this versatility.
Whoa. Damian Lillard has requested a trade.
So what,
it is now official. Like, Damian Lillard has requested a trade.
Please trade me bat signal for a really, really long time. Like, I'm not going to take it like Portland knows he was wanted to trade. They're just kind of like actively ignoring him. I think that they're going to continue to actively ignore him, and then they'll probably make him demand a trade, which is a different level.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's a different level. He had a chance. They had a chance to trade him before the draft and got it maximized, but now they waited. All right, Colin, I want to talk about this real fast. Is although I semi-agree with you, I want to say...
Not able to throw great lobs.
Yes. But here's the thing. Which player on our team last year, besides J-Dub, would be good at lobs? Catching the lob and throwing it down. Like, we didn't have a lot of those guys on the team last year. So, we don't know really... And this is me standing up for Josh, because I have this belief that if you can pass the ball like he does across court, that he can pass the ball in between players' legs like he does, like it's nothing, that he can do so much more. And lobs are going to be something that he's going to have to learn how to do, especially in the NBA, because when you're 6'9 and you're throwing a lob to a 7'1, 7'2 guy, like you could do things and you can go higher than people that will be able to go. They put the ball in places that guys can't reach. So if Josh doesn't learn the lob, which I think is he's going to be incredibly efficient at it, then, I'm just sitting here as, eating my words, but I'm not going to be eating my words, because I think that Josh is going to be one of the most prolific lob passers in the league when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I used to have trouble throwing the lob myself. It was not my strength, but oh well. I mean, listen, it's all about learning the personnel, because like some players are quick jumpers. Like if you remember Richard Jefferson, the way he would play. Kenyon Martin, the way he would play. Yeah. Like Jason Kidd was throwing different types of lobs to those different types of guys. So,
All right, Thomas.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Thomas, who will be playing in the summer league? We're still, you know, I'm sure there's a list out there, but we still haven't signed a rookie. Is that correct, Mark? So I'm still wondering what's going on, and this is not normal for the Thunder. We usually are on your patient on signing the rookies, but I'm just looking at it, and in this case is that I don't foresee any of our top eight players playing in the league or in the summer league. I just don't.
Just for
because we need to stay healthy. So that's what I'm looking at.
Anybody know the first game? What day that is? We're the ones who are supposed to know this stuff, but we don't. Dude, I'm still on vacation, bro. You look like you're getting settled back into your crib, though. Looks like Dave froze up. He'll be back in a second. But I wanted to say, even though we've been on vacation, we have been thinking about jumping back on here quite regularly. So we enjoy that you guys are serious about this. Are you serious? It's July 3rd in 2 days? Holy fucking shit, guys. The show is going to get going, man. So in 2 days, I got to get my TV set up here and make sure that we're ready. How are we going to watch it? NBA TV? Is that how it's going to be on? You guys know about this? Is it going to be on ESPN? Sometimes they put them up on ESPN. I'll probably just have to do my old-fashioned WYSIWYG stream. But that's just that. I mean, I dig it, man. I'm pumped up about it. Like, it's the right situation, and I'm thinking, like Dave said,
sorry, man,
we can avoid the top eight playing, then we're going to get really depth, really good ideas of the depth that we have on the team. Dave, so will Chet play? That's what Thomas is asking. How do you feel about the, like, did you know it starts July 3rd in 2 days, bro?
Dude, I did not know it started July 3rd.
Okay. And we need to figure out how we're going to watch it, like, because we'd like to do a watch party. Is it ESPN? Is it NBA TV?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. When we find it, we'll have a podcast the day before, and we'll let you guys know what's up. We'll make sure we throw in the headlines, because watch parties, that has to happen, man. That has to happen.
NBA TV. Good. I'm personally subscribed for NBA TV through, like, Amazon Prime. They let me do that. So
cool.
That's the easiest way for me to watch it.
Yep.
I'd have to get, like, Hulu TV to get ESPN again, or WYSIWYG that stream, baby. You know how I roll. Well,
and this is what I love about Chet, guys. I've said it in the past. Like, he spins the ball in his hands. He's constantly has the ball in his hands. He's never letting it go. That's the one of the beautiful things about who Chet is. And I'm really excited about the fact that he wants to have that competitiveness in play.
What's up, Carson?
So I hope he does. I hope he does and at least plays one game, gets those jitters out, gets excited about playing.
Man, so July 3rd, Jazz, the 5th against the Grizzlies, 6th against the 76ers, and 8th against the Mavs. Man, that's exciting right there. I'm screenshotting that, Corey, so I have that on demand when I need it. Gets me fired up, man.
It's crazy,
that's
dude.
What this is all about, dude.
So the Portland Trail Blazers are coming out and saying that they will be trading Damian Lillard and accommodating him to hopefully the place that he wants to go. Crazy, bro.
Where do you think he wants to go?
All right. I mean, living in Portland, I think you live in the shadow of Los Angeles, you know?
Okay.
So
you think LA?
I think LA, New York, or you know what? Throw this out here, man. Listen, the way that now the Heat are so desperate right now because they've lost some players, I think the Heat have to go after him, man. Think the Heat have to go after him.
But here's
Miami,
the problem with the
there
Heat.
You go.
The Heat never want to give what other teams will.
Yeah, but like Damian Lillard says, I want to go to the Heat, and they said that they're going to accommodate him.
What? Let me ask you this. What's the least amount of picks that the Portland Trail Blazers should accept for Dame?
I think if they got, like, Tyler Hero and 2 first-round picks, they would be good.
Okay, but you know how the Heat are. They're not going to give up Tyler Hero. He's young, and they're not going to do that. So no Tyler Hero.
Okay.
So you're saying 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's the money thing, man. You got to give up one of your young players. You got to give up Tyler Hero or the shooting Duncan, the shooting Duncan.
The shooting Duncan.
So, like, you got to give one up with the other. So, who would you rather not have on your team? And then it's about money now. So, now that they've lost a couple of their free agents.
But, man, if Golden State, if he went to Golden State, that'd be something crazy.
So, you got free agents coming in, right? Then you got the Thunder that just created a $9 million, or pretty much $10 million trade asset, trade exemption, right? So, then you're able to trade out... let's just say Tyler Hero and one other guy. Boom. A couple of first-round picks. You're ready to put in Damian Lillard in that lineup. So, I mean, I don't think that's, you know, out of the question, but I do think the Knicks are going to throw in it. I think the Knicks are going to throw elbows trying to get him. I think Los Angeles, I don't think he has any intentions to go to a small town like Minnesota. So I think this is a situation where he's going to a big city, and he's going to find a big city that wants him, and he's going to make sure it works.
What's up, James?
James.
Guys, you know what's up. This is incredible free agency. July 1st is always when things start happening, and we find out the Thunder get VO back. You know, it's just a trip down memory lane. We're watching fireworks go off right before July 4th, and we're seeing players head different directions, and now we know Dame is going to be headed somewhere else for a happy 4th of July.
Good times, man. Good times.
Good times, dude. Hey, you know what I've always wanted to do ever since Dame? I wanted to wave goodbye to him. So why don't we leave this with a little wave goodbye to Dame?
We appreciate you, Dame. Peace out.
Let's jump back on Monday, bro.
All right, let's do it, man. Oh, hey, Red Dog, I don't know if there's any free agents left. There's a couple of them that I would take on the team, but that's about it.
We'll be back, guys. We love you. We'll see you then.
All right.